Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Worcester's political and business leaders say they want to make Worcester the best mid-sized city in New England. That's their goal. They're luring new industries, moving ahead on new developments, trying to attract new residents. One of those residents, new residents, is Nick Labby, a 24-year-old Providence College graduate from Portsmouth, Rhode Island. In some ways, he's exactly the kind of person that Worcester's civic and business leaders are trying to attract.
Prior to moving here, Worcester was not my ideal location.
After graduating from PC in 2008, Labby accepted an offer from the Hanover Insurance Company, one of Worcester's top employers. But he was reluctant to come here because of Worcester's reputation as a blue-collar city.
I lived in Providence for 4 years. Providence is great. Boston's right down the road. So Worcester, comparatively speaking, was never, you know, the glamorous cities that those two were for me. So I wasn't exactly excited to come here.
Worcester City Manager Michael O'Brien understands that, acknowledging that for years, Worcester, the second largest city in New England, has been operating in the shadow of other New England cities.
We here in Worcester have been our own worst enemies. We've always self-deprecated a bit because of Providence and Boston. We've shed that. There's a self-confidence now that we're going to capitalize on our strengths.
Strengths highlighted by expanding industries, insurance, biotech, medicine. The UMass Medical School is here. Though it might not sound that exciting, O'Brien says Worcester is aiming to be the most affordable mid-sized city in New England. It's a goal that's actually stated in the city plan.
We're not trying to be something that we're not. Our goal is not to become a Boston or look at Providence as a model. We have a tremendous appreciation of what we offer, and our vision is to build off of that.
This is not something that came to Worcester overnight. It struggled and stagnated for decades. Holy Cross College history professor John Anderson.
It's very difficult for a city like this to see so many old industries fade and then fail.
Worcester was once called the broom closet of New England, a place not too attractive, but highly productive.
It was the world's leading producer of abrasives. It was the United States' leading producer of crankshafts for automobiles.
Worcester factories churned out shoes, wallpaper, ice skates, trolley cars, and the well-known Worcester-built short-order diners that can still occasionally be found dotting blue-collar neighborhoods around America. But time caught up. Some business dried up. Others found less expensive places to produce their products and moved. The city hemorrhaged jobs. Unemployment soared. Tax revenue plummeted. And then, hope.
They talked about this as a destination mall.
In the late 60s, enter the Worcester Galleria, a new mall, a so-called economic savior. It flourished at first, but then couldn't compete with the shopping areas outside the city that offered free parking. So the Galleria became an outlet mall. For a while, it worked. It drew crowds. But then, as Professor Anderson reminds us, it too failed.
When that mall failed, what was Worcester thinking about itself?
There was a sense that we've entered a kind of gray area. We're not quite certain what route to take in the future, what direction to go.
Fast forward by decades to last week. The empty concrete Galleria, the behemoth in the heart of downtown Worcester, met fate 2010. Out of the ashes of the old mall's demolition will arise a new economic hope. 20-plus acres of restaurants and clubs, 200,000 square feet of office and high-end residential space, and Mercantile Street, a brand-new street that will cut right through the old mall property. The entire effort is known as the City Square Project.
Just remember, it took us 6 years to get here, folks. Just a little longer.
City Manager Michael O'Brien spoke to hundreds of people at the groundbreaking. The $560 million City Square project, he said, is critical to Worcester's future.
Not as a silver bullet, but instead to set the proper table for long-term sustainable economic growth in our downtown, in our central business district, and throughout the city.
None of this would have happened without Hanover Insurance Company. The company employs more than 2,000 people in Worcester at its sprawling office park just off Interstate 290. It paid $5 million to purchase about half the acreage for the City Square project. Hanover's CEO is Worcester area native Fred Eppinger.
We are committed to this city. You know, we've been here 160 years, so you know, I think it'll be good for us for another 100 or so. It's an important part of who we are, is our hometown.
Does Hanover, do you feel like you're missing anything by being in Worcester and not being in Boston?
I don't at all. I actually think it's a great benefit because what you find is that the livability west of the city is quite an attraction for employees.
So, Hanover's interest in Worcester and the City Square project is really, at least partly, self-interest. It needs to attract quality workers. So in helping to transform Worcester's downtown, Hanover believes it's helping itself. The change in Worcester that's already come, the new restaurants and nightlife, a feeling the city is relatively safe from crime, and improving city schools has also helped. City officials feel there's a new spark of life and new sense of pride. And that Providence College alum we met earlier in our story, Nick Labby, who was reluctant to move to Worcester 2 years ago for his new job after graduation, he's decided to stay. He's bought a house.
Buying a house is a huge decision, so I thought about that, and I thought, is Worcester a place I could see myself in 5 and 10 years? And absolutely, definitely is.